Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, once again, very special guest, Christine C. Quinn. She is the president and CEO of WIN, which is New York City's largest shelter and supportive services provider for homeless families. WIN runs 14 shelters and over 400 permanent supportive housing units. WIN has been at the forefront of the city's response to the ongoing migrant and homelessness crisis. Under Christine's leadership, WIN houses over 270 families seeking asylum, including 700 children. Chris is also co-founder New York State Shelter for All Equality, New York SANE, to provide humane and long-term solutions for New York shelters and New York homelessness. Prior to WIN, Christine was New York City Council member from 1999 to 2013, served for 7 years as elected Speaker of the City Council, making her the first woman and the first openly gay speaker in New York City history. Christine, welcome back to Reaching Out. Thank you.
Thank you. I was just taking a gulp of coffee
there.
Thank you very much. And, you know, thank you for having me on the show, but also thank you for being such a great voice for the working men and women that are your union members, but are also part of, you know, keeping the infrastructure of New York City strong and keeping it available for low-income New Yorkers, like the work at NYCHA and the health and hospitals. So thank you.
Thank you. And the work is coming increasingly difficult because of the resources drying up. Every day brings a different challenge. And thank you for your support and thank you for what you're doing. We're coming up on the two-year anniversary of the start of the migrant crisis in New York City. Can you tell us how the influx of asylum seekers has impacted your work at WIN?
So, you know, no one, I guess, except for Governor Abbott of Texas, could have anticipated this that this was going to happen. It just kind of happened almost overnight. And the clients who are, you know, the asylum seekers, the migrants, they are in a very different situation than our traditional clients, if you will. They don't have work ability. They can't qualify for food stamps or Medicare or Medicaid. So when they first came to us, we were having to provide everything from, you know, 3 meals a day, snacks, all kinds of clothing, because they come with the t-shirt on their back and literally like the flip-flops on their feet. So it's been a very different model we've had to employ. Also, basically, to the one, these folks don't speak English, and most are Spanish speakers. So we've had to find ways to bring in more translating services so we can really deliver services. And one of the things we saw was that our security guards and maintenance workers came forward and started doing translation. And they were doing it at first and not like saying they were doing it, so they weren't getting paid for the extra hours. So I was like, no. We will utilize you, but you'll get paid for every hour you spend translating. So it's been different. The other really critical difference between these clients and our other clients is that they have about a year to put their legal house in order, whether it's asylum, temporary protective status, a U visa if they've been the victim of a crime. And if they miss that year, they are out of luck. So we have had to join partnership with a great group, the New York Legal Assistance Group, and create a legal clinic, which is not something we typically have to do.
Now tell us, because you mentioned they have a year. What does that year entail? What do you mean by that?
A year of getting to America, they have a year to file all their paperwork, put their, if you will, petition before the government to get legal status to stay in this country. And there's different ways and different mechanisms you can employ to do that. And in this clinic, we help them put their affairs in order, but also determine which route to take.
Okay. And say you don't get yourself together in a year, what happens to you?
It's really bad. I mean, you lose a lot of your potential to get to stay in the country legally.
Okay. Right. So what policy solutions should the city and state consider implementing to address the migrant crisis?
So, you know, right now in the city, we have a great program, housing vouchers, where those who are in shelter get a voucher that helps them pay their rent. And this program is incredibly successful in preventing people from returning to shelter. The city should, and with the state's support, begin offering vouchers to undocumented folks, those who have come in this wave and ones who've been here for a longer period of time. The great thing there is they'll be out of shelter, stabilized in decent permanent apartment, but it costs the city less. A night in an apartment with a housing voucher is $72 a night. A night in a hotel, which the city are employing, is $383 a night. We believe that originally the city said it was going to cost $12 billion to deal with the migrant crisis. Let's say that number is true. We believe you could save $3 billion by getting people out of shelter, out of hotel, and into permanent apartments. Now, also right now, the city is doing something that I think is really harassing. Every 30 days, if you're a single, 60 days, if you're a family, you have to leave shelter and go and reapply. But in that period of time, you don't have anywhere to stay. You're staying on the street. And honestly, if these folks had somewhere else they could be, like with family or something, they would be there. So this is just harassing. It's not really about fixing the problem. And I'm very grateful to Assemblymember Catalina Cruz and Senator Brad Hoyleman Siegel. They've introduced legislation that would eliminate and make the 30 and 60 day rule illegal.
Okay. So if they're successful with that, that means they have more time to get their affairs together.
Exactly. And then also, you know, we saw at the start of the implementation of this, a woman who was pregnant 8 months getting kicked out of a hotel and having to go, you know, basically stay on the street until she and her husband reapplied. I mean, that's just asinine. Now, the city helped that woman and they said no more kicking out pregnant women, but it goes to the core of why are you doing something like that when it doesn't really solve the problem at all, as opposed to doing these, say, vouchers, which could really solve the problem, excuse me.
Okay. So let me ask you, where are you, and that you particularly, where are we, the city, in giving out vouchers and saving money as opposed to doing it the way they're doing it now?
Well, the city won't give them to undocumented. Others who get it, the system within the city is very messed up, for lack of a more glamorous description, very messed up. And we find a lot of clients who they're looking for an apartment. They find an apartment and the city says it's going to take another month to process their paperwork. In that period of time, their voucher is going to expire because it's only good for 90 days. And the landlord says, forget it, right? This is too much. I don't know what's going on. Just totally forget about it. And we have proposed to the city steps that they could take to streamline the process. And what would happen then is more people would get housing more quickly, which would open up beds in the shelters where people could be moved in and reduce the amount of new shelters that may or may not need to be built. And, you know, it just speaks to government, like, not taking always the simple answers.
So who do we need to speak to? How could we help?
Thank you. Well, you know, it's really in the hands of Molly Parks, who's the commissioner for the Department of Homeless Services, and also the deputy mayor, Ann Williams Isom. But we know in this administration, probably more than anyone that you or I have seen, it's really the mayor, right? I mean, he's the one who makes all, for better or worse, all of the decisions. I think a lot of what we've proposed, I'm not speaking for them, I think Molly and Ann would be okay with, but it's unclear, you know, that the mayor is there yet. So I think, you know, any conversations that can be had with any of those people is great, but certainly with the mayor directly is the best case scenario.
Okay. And if someone wanted to have that conversation with him and wanted to bring it up, what would they say? Is there a bill or just a policy?
So there is a bill in Albany to eliminate the 30 or 60 day rule, but he could just do that. And then there isn't a bill, but he could extend vouchers to the undocumented.
Okay, so we're looking for that. And in the bill in Albany, who's carrying that bill?
Catalina Cruz in the Assembly.
Okay.
And Brad Hoylman Siegel in the Senate.
Okay, very good. So we'll be looking for that because—
Thank you.
Believe me, spending money when you don't have to
exactly.
is just not the wise thing.
Exactly. When there's so yeah. many other areas,
sure.
you know, schools, roads, parks, et cetera, where we need to spend money.
Your organization recently released a report showing that housing access to voucher program, and is that what we just spoke about?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's what we just spoke about. Okay, so when recently supported Assemblyman Cruz legislation, the 60-day rule, we just spoke
yes,
about
that's,
that also.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so those two things tie together. Are there any suggestions that you would give anybody if those two things do not come to fruition?
Well, I mean, if they don't come to fruition, I think we're really a little stuck with how we're going to move these migrants out of shelter because they don't have, right now, if they're working, right, it's off the books, which is mm-hmm. is dangerous, but I understand why somebody would do it. So until they have work authorization, they can't really work. And if there's nothing to support them on getting housing, I'm not sure how they get out of shelter. And look, I think I run some good shelters, but I don't want anybody in shelter a day longer than they have to be.
Sure, sure. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. With me, our very special guest, Christine Quinn, and she is the CEO of WIN, which operates shelters for migrant families. The mayor has yet to implement the housing voucher policies that the city council approved last year. Is that what we spoke about that also?
No, we didn't. That's different.
We didn't. So, okay.
No. The council passed a package of bills, all dealing with vouchers. And they do things like raise the amount of money you can earn and still get a voucher. We have a client, she's working as a cleaning woman at Cornell. She makes too much money to get a voucher, which is crazy, right? And she's a cancer survivor, she's raising her grandson, it makes no sense. One of the bills speaks to that and raising the income somebody can have. There is another bill that would offer housing vouchers to people who were on the verge of eviction to prevent them from being evicted, which makes common sense as reducing somebody's personal trauma and also saving the city money because then that person won't have to go into shelter. There's also a bill that deals with how rent and heat, et cetera, is calculated with vouchers. So these are bills that we believe really will reduce homelessness, get people out of shelter, getting them to living like better lives in permanent housing. The mayor vetoed all of the bills saying that they were too expensive. Now, when the council overrode the veto, the mayor has chosen, even though the council overrode the veto, not to implement the laws. So now there is a lawsuit, and one of Wynn's clients is the lead plaintiff in that lawsuit that seeks to force the city to implement these laws.
So Let's say that the law is implemented. What would that do to the economic situation in New York City?
I think it would get more people into permanent housing, more kids out of shelter. I think reducing the amount of money we have to pay on shelter because we're reducing the number of people in shelter is a good thing and a smart fiscal thing.
Okay. Yes. Can you speak to some of the challenges Wynn has faced in the past year with regards to the homeless crisis?
You know, one of the things we have been challenged with is the kind of extra responsibilities, which we've met, but nonetheless, of getting clothes and food, et cetera, donated for migrants. Two, we've seen an increase in folks who are being evicted. You know, we said that after the pandemic, the state eventually got rid of the eviction moratorium. That is a good, you know, understandable that it had to end, but we said, give vouchers to people. So if they used the eviction moratorium and they don't have the money to pay it back, let's not have this wholesale eviction. They didn't do that. And we've seen the numbers of folks in the shelters rise because of that, which was a really very steady influx. Now, on a positive note, we have opened a shelter in Staten Island, and that is going really well. And we just a few weeks ago, maybe a month, opened a shelter in the Bronx just for migrants.
So you mentioned you're having difficulty getting donations. Some of our listeners heard that and they said, you know, how can we donate? How can we help?
That would be great. They could go to our website, which is WynnNYC, two N's, WynnNYC.org, and it shows how you can donate and also how you can volunteer. You know, and that could be volunteering as an individual. It could be through a business association, a union, through your church, your synagogue, your mosque. You know, volunteers are really helpful in us expanding the services we can deliver, mentors, et cetera. Also really helpful with kids to help us with programming for the children.
Very good. Very good. How would expanding the housing vouchers also help with handling the influx of asylums? Did we go through that?
Yeah.
We did go through that, okay, throughout New York City. Okay, what are your goals and wins for the upcoming year?
Well, I think our goal is to make sure that we win in court and that all of the vouchers legislation gets implemented. We passed a law about a year ago that would require the city to give funding for mental health services in family shelters. So we're following up on that and really want to make sure that gets implemented. We in the Bronx, we are rebuilding a shelter, building, making it new, which is great. And then also going to be building permanent housing there, permanent supportive housing. So that's another really important goal for us. And then we want to keep pushing our agenda to get vouchers to the undocumented.
Okay. Now, when you say in the Bronx, you're building, is there donations? Is there organization?
People can go to the website and make a donation for the Powers development, it's called. And there's info about Powers on the website.
Okay, the Powers development. Okay. Are there specific supports you still need that New Yorkers should be aware of?
Diapers, baby wipes. If you want to run a drive anywhere and for diapers and baby wipes, we always need those. That would be amazing.
Diapers and baby wipes. Okay. So we have about 2 minutes left. In 2 minutes, if you had an ask from New York City and New York City's listening, whether it be a legislator, whether it be the mayor, whoever, what would that ask be?
You know, I would ask all New Yorkers to be welcoming to homeless people when they come into their neighborhood, to be welcoming to the migrants, to not viscerally and aggressively and at times in a racist way oppose shelters. I really believe we can end the crisis of family homelessness, but only if we all come together as Team New York and work with each other, not against each other.
Okay, that's not That's not much to ask. That is a little human decency.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. So once again, the website that you have for New Yorkers to donate, and you said you needed diapers and baby wipes.
Yep.
I know you need clothes. I know you yep. need just the essentials. What would that website be?
WinNYC.org, two N's, WinNYC.org.
WinNYC.org. Okay. All right. Any plans for the future? Tell us how you really got started, your passion.
Well, you know, I started as a housing organizer and a tenant organizer when I started working in New York in the late 80s, early 90s. And through that work, I met someone by the name of Tom Duane, who ran for city council, and I ran his race. And then I started working for him. And then when he went to the Senate, I went to the council. But, you know, when I lost the mayor's race and left government, I knew I really wanted to run a not-for-profit of a significant size that dealt with women's issues. And poverty is a woman's issue. Homelessness is a women's issue. And that's how I ended up at Wynn. And it's felt like a great opportunity to take my political experience and bring it to bear on a important, maybe one of the most important issues in our city.
And when you started this, what was your very first shelter that you opened?
Well, when I started, we had about 8 shelters, and now we have 15.
Okay. So yeah. you practically doubled your
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your
size. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's both good and sad because
exactly.
Good because
exactly.
You're helping that many people, but it's sad because that many and more people need your services. You know, it's just one thing I always wondered. When New York State decided that they were not going to have in-service, I would say, for the mentally challenged, and they made them all outpatients, and they closed the state facilities. I tell people, I believe that was the beginning of the homeless crisis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it just spread throughout the country.
I mean, it was a good vision to close the very, very dangerous and poorly run psychiatric hospitals, but they didn't do it with with step two, thinking, you know, what would happen, and that was a real problem.
Right, right. So out of the good comes the bad, the unintended
exactly.
consequence. Yes. Okay. And 30 seconds or less. Is there anything you want to say to our listeners that we haven't
WinNYC.org. Go to the website and help out.
Thank you. You've been listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. Our very special guest, CEO of Wynn, Christine Quinn. Thank you once again for coming back.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, President of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.